This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Psalm 119 with Time for the Lord to Act. Let no iniquity get dominion, righteous forever, you are near, and the sum of your word is truth. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your grace.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A reading from Matthew chapter 10. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The word of our Lord that serves as a foundation for our homily is the gospel reading from Matthew 10 that we just heard, especially the 16th verse. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. When Jesus sends the 12, he at the same time tells them clearly the danger they can expect below, and he equips them with his promises from above. The danger that they can expect from below. Jesus' words are part of what many call his missionary discourse that makes up chapter 10 of the Gospel of Matthew. His words refer to the historically specific first century mission work of the 12. And we read in the first verse of chapter 10 that Jesus, he called to himself the 12. The 12 disciples gave them authority over the unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. So Jesus equips them. He equips them with his authority, with his power that he received from the Father to do in many ways the ministry that Jesus himself had done. So, for instance, we read in the verses immediately before chapter 10 of the Gospel of Matthew, we read, "And Jesus went out." Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. And so now Jesus expands that ministry by sending out the 12. He sends the 12 to do the mission work to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And while sending them, he instructs them in a speech. In a speech that makes up chapter 10 that has two parts, a speech with two parts, and each of those two parts has two sections. So our reading this morning, Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 23, is the second section, we can say, of this first part of Jesus' missionary discourse. Prior to the reading, in Jesus' instructions to the 12, The primary emphasis prior to our reading was on what the 12 would be doing, what the 12 would actually do, and then on how others would respond to what the 12 are doing. So they are to go to nowhere among the Gentiles, enter no town of the Samaritans, we read. We also read they're to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We read that they are to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they're to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out the demons. And Jesus told them how others may respond, that some would receive their message and work and others would not. Well, now in our reading for this morning, hostile persons are doing the action. And twice in our reading, the disciples are being acted upon by these hostile agents. It's a flip, it's a switch. Jesus, here in our reading, is sharing the dark side of their sending, that the 12 should expect opposition and persecution to the point of torture, even physical death, because, all because of their faithful missionary work. He reminds the 12 of how he is sending them as sheep in the midst of wolves. They will be vulnerable. They will appear defenseless in the face of opposition. He describes the work of these wolf-like opponents of the gospel who will persecute them. He says, "For they will deliver you over. They will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake." He says, "Also, brother will deliver brother over to death. Father, his child, children will rise against parents, families set against one another. Have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake," he says. This is what the 12 can expect below here on earth, expectations of hostility and persecution that become a reality, as we learn in the book of Acts in the New Testament, as we also learn from the Apostle Paul in his catalog of his own sufferings, for instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And so Jesus, he exhorts these sheep in the midst of wolves to be wise as serpents. We could say that is to have a kind of realism, sort of sober, right, down-to-earth realism regarding expectations for the faithful in Christ in this world. It's a cross-shaped life, after all. And Jesus, elsewhere in the Gospel of Matthew, as you know, he calls each of his disciples to pick up a cross, their cross, and follow him. Yes, Jesus sends the 12, and he tells them clearly the danger that they can expect below. And at the same time, as he sends them, Jesus equips them with his promises. We could say his promises from above. After giving them a dark picture of persecution and hostility in which they will be delivered over to courts, flogged in synagogues, dragged before governors and kings, Jesus tells them that this is their opportunity to witness. So he equips them. He equips them with his promises. "When they deliver you over," he says, "do not be anxious how you are to speak, what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Further, he says this, "The one who endures to the end will be saved." And finally, Jesus promises that there will be an end to their work. "When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will have not gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." So Jesus, he exhorts these sheep in the midst of wolves to not only be wise as serpents, but also to be innocent as doves. That is, we could say it this way, to have a kind of trusting willingness that expresses itself in courage. Jesus equips the 12 with his word, with his promises that enable them to trust the word of their Lord and to not be discouraged, to not be deflated, to not be disheartened by the real danger and hostility and persecution that they can expect. And the one who equips them with his word, his promises, is of course the promised one. The one who faced hostility, who endured suffering on the cross for us. He is the promised one who endured to the end to make perfect payment for your sin. As he cried, "It is finished," to purchase and win your salvation with his innocent suffering and death. Jesus, that lamb in the midst of wolves, as the prophet Isaiah tells us, and we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. As a lamb is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. God the Father, who also vindicated his Son through Jesus' glorious resurrection, ultimate victory over his enemies. And he gives as gift his perfect payment for your sin. Sure, victory over sin, death, hell, and the devil. In the face of real danger and persecution and hostility from enemies, the Lord provided to the 12 what he also asked of them. His promises that we find in our gospel reading. And granted, they granted perspective, they granted courage, granted comfort to the 12 then. And they do the same for pastors today, for all of God's faithful. The 12 faced opposition and torture and even death. And such real danger and hostility we know is present today. We know that it will vary from place to place. We know that it's going to vary from generation to generation. Not all Christians generally, or Christian missionaries specifically, are going to face what the 12 experienced in the first century. But we know that the world is a broken and hostile place. We know that unbelievers or lost sheep, as I've heard it said before, can become ravenous wolves. But those who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ need not worry. They need not worry about their eloquence or their ability to proclaim. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. It's not an excuse not to study the scriptures, of course, or to prepare. But the words will come as a gift from the Spirit of the Father. The same Spirit who came down upon Christ himself at his baptism, who empowered Jesus' ministry, that same Spirit who comes down upon all who are baptized, those who are baptized into the triune name of God. The Spirit of God is ultimately then responsible for all faithful preaching and all faithful teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit that brings hearers to faith in Christ and his salvation by means of the preaching of the word. Jesus does not promise deliverance from danger or suffering here below, here in this world. Yet he does equip. He equips with his word, his promises, his Spirit. And when trouble comes, you can be certain that your salvation is sure as you trust in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the canticle.
You are the one.
In our prayers, we remember the family and friends of Nancy Burns, mother of Vicar John Burns, who succumbed to an infection complicated by pancreatic cancer on Monday.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Let us pray. Almighty eternal God, in the word of your apostles and prophets, you have proclaimed to us your saving will. Grant us faith to believe your promises, that we may receive eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Maker of heaven and earth and giver of life, we thank you for all the mercies you granted to our sister Nancy during her earthly life, especially for calling her to faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort the survivors who mourn her death with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a joyful reunion in heaven. Keep us mindful that we are mortal, so that we will ever be prepared to die in the faith, and finally receive the glory promised to all who trust in your beloved Son. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all.